Hadn't heard about that revival.
Oh, yeah, we just got that out of our boxes. 18th,
Revival Piedmont Baptist Church, 257 Penn Lake Drive, Reedsville. Pastor Brother Dwayne King, October the 19th to the 21st, 7:30 p.m., guest speaker Phil Kidd. That's about it. One he has every time, I believe. Psalm 100. You know, a lady asked me one time, just what do you go to church for? First of all, because the Lord commanded it. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. We need to come to church to get, I'd like to say, juiced up, ready to go out into life, because life out here is rough. But if you're not getting ready to go home, you need to be. Ezekiel 36, 37, 38, as I mentioned before, probably. But Russia is already in Syria. Do you know Syria is their, one of their borders is on Israel? So, and the Russians have done moved in with aircraft and airplanes and everything else. So, folks, we need to get ready. They're having trouble in Turkey, and it's all leading up. We're going home. Praise God. I'm looking forward to it. In fact, I pray for it. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus, just exactly like John. But in Psalm 100, I think we got the sum total of why we go to church. If you would, do you feel like standing or you can stand, respect to the word of God? It says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And his truth endureth to all generations. Precious Heavenly Father, bless this message. Use it for your glory and your honor. Lord, help your unworthy servant, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. As we heard in a song just a while ago, trust and obey, it says here, make. First of all, we got to make a noise. It don't have to be perfect pitch. It don't have to be something that sounds so melodious that you just awe. The Lord said, make a joyful what? Noise. That means we can come to the Lord and we can shout and we can praise him and we can do all types of singing from the song books. You know, all of the songs is songs. They sing them. And we ought to be to the point where we've got melody within our heart and within our soul. We want to just sing out to the Lord. Praise God, if you can't sing, make a good squeak. Because the Lord knows what's in your heart. The Lord knows what you're wanting to say because we have the Holy Spirit. What does the Holy Spirit do? It takes the groanings. It takes whatever we feel in our heart and delivers it to the Lord. And so thank God for the Holy Spirit. And when we get into church, that's what we're supposed to make. It ought to be joyous to come to church. It ought not be something that we sit at home and, oh me, I hated to get out of bed. I wished I could have just slept just a little bit longer. Or, oh man, we got to put all of them Sunday clothes on. Of course, these days, I mean, you're talking about come as you are. They come just looking exactly like the world. But we need to realize that the Lord had a hard time going up Calvary's hill. He had a hard time laying down on that cross. And they put the nails through his hands and to his feet. And we ought to realize that it's a small requirement the Lord says to come and assemble yourselves together and make a joyful noise. Now we can make a noise. I've seen some people say that, well, I don't like to hear drums in church. But my friends, let me tell you something. God says that we can make a joyful noise with everything. I got churches I go to now around Leesville preaching, and they've got drums. They got a shield in front of them trying to, you know, cut the noise down a little bit. But praise God, we can praise God with any instrument. It tells us that in Psalm 150, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. It tells us right there. What are we supposed to do in church? Praise God. Hebrews 13, it tells us that the sacrifice God wants now is not animals, it's not blood, it's not the red heifer, it's not ashes, it's not all of these things that the Israelites had to do to come to the Lord. What does the Lord want? He wants praise and thanksgiving from our lips. Praise and thanksgiving from our lips. Praise God. Get a little spizzarinktum. Get a little shout. Get a little acknowledgement to the Lord that you have a joyful heart, because he's looking on your heart anyway. So we need to praise the Lord any way we can. Praise him in the firmament of his power. That means outside. The firmament is the outside. We're supposed to praise him in the outside. Praise him on our job. Praise him driving a car. Praise him whatever we can to praise him. Praise him in his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and the harp. Praise him with the timbal and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. How many times can we say it? We got a song in our song, but praise, praise him, praise him, praise him. Make a joyful noise, not one that's all cramped up with wondering what in the world I had to come and just come to church and just to sit here. The Lord says, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise unto the rock of our salvation. God is our rock. He's the rock of ages. He's the rock that led Egypt through the desert. I mean Israel through the desert out of Egypt. We need to realize that when he brought them out of Israel, out of Egypt, man, I'm getting my tongue tied this morning. When he brought them out of Egypt, go headed back to Israel. Their shoes didn't wear out. Clothes did not wear out. He fed them water. He fed them food. He fed them manna. God will look after his own if we just trust and obey. Then he says, all ye lambs. In other words, shout joyful. Let all the earth know that you're a Christian. That what happened out in Oregon, where would you stand? Put a gun to their head, said, are you a Christian? If you were a Christian, he would put a bullet through your head. If you were not a Christian, he would shoot you in the leg. Let me ask you something. If someone put a gun to your head, would you admit that you're a Christian? I had one person say, I don't know what I would or not. I don't know what I'd do in that situation. If we've got doubt, we got fear. Those didn't have any fear. 9 of them died saying that they were a Christian. And my friends, that's where we ought to be today. All the fear should be gone. What's it replaced with? Love. We need to love God. We need to love Jesus, love one another. So in all the earth, we need to proclaim the name of Jesus. He is the God of heaven and earth. Then we need to serve the Lord. What capacity can we do in church? Can we be a prayer warrior? Can we be a deacon? Can we be a pastor, as far as that's concerned, of youth, pastor of music? What can we do in the church to serve him? If it's nothing but clean the floors, that's serving the Lord. It's written down in the book of remembrance. And so as we serve the Lord, we need to serve it not because we feel a compulsion to have to. We serve the Lord with gladness. We're to have a glad heart. It's good to do something for the Lord. We'll never be able to repay him for what he's done for us. No way and no how we'll be able to repay him. My friends, that's a debt that we'll die owing. So we need, my friends, to serve the Lord with all the gladness in our hearts. The Bible says make joyful noises. Praise God. You know what a joyful noise is to the Lord? Prayer. He loves to hear your voice. He loves to hear from you. How many times have you told him that you love him? How many times have you told him that you'd be glad to serve him for whatever capacity he puts you in? Yeah, we've got a small church out here, but what does that mean? God can do a whole lot with a little bit. Just a few people, God can light a fire. What can you do with one match? You can start a whole forest fire. You can do the same. Just witness to someone else. It's like I said before when I was out here preaching, God told me to get up out of that comfortable church I was in, get out into the highways and byways and compel them to come in. Tell my people, he said. And so we go out into the highways and byways and compel them to come in. Come before his presence with singing. Come before his presence with singing. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19. Speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Well, you've got to have something to sing about. It tells us in the next verse, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. We need to love not only God, not only Jesus, but one another. When we got saved, that's the first thing that God taught us. If you can't love your brother whom you have seen, how can you love God in whom you have not seen? We need to love one another. And when we come to church, that love ought to be self-evident. I go to some churches, my friends, they're the happiest bunch of people that I've ever seen. They hug you. They're glad to see you. And when it gets into the preaching, praise God, they're just full of life. That's what we need to be, full of life, worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth. And when you are in church, you're in the presence of the Lord. In fact, you're in the presence of the Lord all the time, but God has told us to assemble in this church, in his presence. Matthew 18:20 says, when two or three are gathered in his name, there we will be, he shall be also. Get it right in a minute. I was watching television last night, Jack Van Impe show. I sure was glad to see him back. He almost died, but he's still preaching the word of God. He said, I'm thinking that I want to just retire. It's about the same age as Billy Graham when he retired. But he said, no, with all the cards and the letters, it showed me that my place was still in the pulpit. One preacher told me, he says, I want to die in the pulpit or doing God's work. And that's me. I want to die doing God's work. Whether it's in the pulpit or wherever it may be. We need to give him every drop of an ounce of energy and strength that we have. And praise God, when we get weak in strength, we can quote that he will mount us up on wings of eagles. That's what it says right here. They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Isaiah 40:31. Couldn't read that one word upside down. Kind of rough. But anyway, the Lord will give us the strength that we need to do what we need to do. Thank God my wife's foot over there, it's done busted open on one side when she had an incision, and we're having a time with it. But you know, God is just like he did with my knee. He don't give her any pain. She don't have any pain from it. It's just there. As a nuisance, I would like to say, but it's just there. Y'all pray for it, please, that God will in some way miraculously heal her. I'm believing him. No. Praise God, if there is one thing we need to know is that the Lord is God. The Muslims tell you that there is no God, Son of God. But let me tell you something. He's God, John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. He is God just like God the Father and God the Spirit. He is God. The Lord, he is God. We need to know. We need to know. And praise God, he has written this blessed Bible so that we may know that he is God. In 1 John chapter 5, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God which he has testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Let me tell you something, friends. We can have life in the Lord. Life to its fullest. No. Yes, we can know it because God has given us the record. If we don't believe the record, then we made him a liar. And I'm not here to make God a liar. And my friend, God has made us. We're wonderfully made. We are fashioned Psalm 139. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuous were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. If I should count how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God, how great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. How much does God love you? It tells you right there how much he loves you and cares for you. It is he that hath made it. Oh, we can have a male and we can have a female come together and they can have a baby, but it is God. It is God that made us inside that woman's womb. Sometimes I cannot understand how God can take a sperm and an egg, and inside that womb, he can make hair and teeth and bone. How he can make your ears to hear, and your eyes to see, and your mouth to function, and your nostrils to smell. All these things inside a woman's womb. It's miraculous. I am curiously made. And yet, we have people today like Planned Parenthood that don't want to take and abort a child, and cut it up, and sell its parts. Oh, my friends, you're talking about a Holocaust. America is part of a Holocaust, too. Anybody would take an unborn child, that could have been you, and kill it, and then cut it up for use. America's going to pay, and it's going to pay dearly. We need to realize that we are made of God. We have not made us ourselves. We are God. You got fingerprints. Nobody else has your fingerprints. You have veins in your eyes. No one else has the same eyes that you have. That's the reason you can walk up to one of these identifiers and the door will open if your eyes are just exactly right. You have DNA that nobody else has. You are curiously and preciously made by the hands of God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. All souls belong to God, Ezekiel 18:4. They are his. And he wants all our souls to come to heaven. Not one lost and headed for hell. God loves your soul. He made a way for your soul to live eternally. He made a way for your soul to ever be in a beautiful city he's going to prepare for us. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by him. So, we are the sheep of his pasture. John 10, he calls us the sheep of his pasture. Oh, sheep are stubborn, they're hard-headed. We are too. But, my friends, we are still his sheep. He is the shepherd. He is the good shepherd. He's the chief shepherd. He is the great shepherd. If we hear his voice, we will follow him. But if we hear the voice of a stranger, we should not follow. So what do? We enter, come into the church. We come in looking for a blessing, not looking for not looking for a bruising or a whatever else. We should be looking for a blessing. We come into his gates with thanksgiving. What is thanksgiving? We celebrate it and we eat food and everything. But what are we really celebrating at Christmas? It's all that the Lord has done for us. We need to come before his presence with thanksgiving, into his gates with such love and adoration that we cannot contain it. Thanksgiving is wonderful. Thanksgiving is something that it's the only thing that we can offer the Lord. What shall I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of his people. See? Paying our vows in the presence of his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. You see what sacrifice God is? Praise and thanksgiving from our lips. He does so much for us. It's kind of like people in cell phones nowadays. They just take them for granted anymore. Everybody has to have one. I've learned to do without them. But anyway, everybody has to have one. They walk around with them all the time in their hand. I ain't too sure that ain't the mark of the beast. Palm of your hand. Does that make sense? You can do anything with those things, but let me tell you something. It takes thanksgiving and praise from your lips to worship the Lord. But he says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful. Three things we need there. Thanksgiving, praise, thankful, and blessing. Four things. We need to be thankful unto him for what he's done, for delivering us and allow us to come back to church one more time. Allowing us, as the song says, to bend our knee and thank God for all his blessings. If we got food in our mouth, clothes upon our backs, that's the only thing that God has promised us. Food and raiment therewith to be content. But we're kind of like Garfield. We want more, 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 more. We will be thankful unto him and bless his name. At the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess. Whether it be down here or whether it be up there, we are going to bow and confess that he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. I'd a whole lot rather do it down here than I had up there, because up there it'd be too late. We need to bless his name, for there's none other name given under heaven whereby a man must be saved. At the lovely name of Jesus, there were demons cast out. At the name of Jesus, there were many healed of blindness. There were many healed of leprosy. Many healed that could not walk. And a deaf that could not hear. Oh, the name of Jesus has a wonderful power to it. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. What a wonderful name. At the name of Jesus, my friends, we could get our heads cut off. At the name of Jesus, we could be shot. But my friend, there is no other name so wonderful as the wonderful name of Jesus. So he says, enter into his gate with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Thank him for all of his blessings that he's bestowed upon us. I don't think any of us is hurting as far as the eating part. But there's more than that. There is clothes that we wear, the jobs that we have, the health that we have. We take a lot of health for granted when really, my friends, we ought to thank him every day for that wonderful health that he gives us. It's amazing that I can even stand on my legs. It's amazing that she can walk. It's amazing for the things that have happened to you. If you just think about it, what has he done for you? Praise God, he gives us life and breath every day. He gives us all our needs according to his riches and glory. He is our God. He is our Lord. He is the one that is responsible for taking care of us. For the Lord is good. Does that sum it all up? The Lord, he is good. I like Psalm 34 and verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. For the Lord's eyes are running to and fro throughout the earth to show himself powerful. Sometimes we think we serve a little bitty God, but he's a big God. He's an awesome God. One that can be here in this church. Church up the road, and the church up the road from that, and the church up the road. He's an awesome God. He fills the universe, but yet he's in little places like this. For why two or three are gathered in the Lord's name, he'll be in the midst. He is good. His mercy is everlasting. I don't plead for justice. I plead for mercy. Psalm 136 has mercy mentioned in it 26 times. The Lord's mercy. It was according to his mercy that saved us, according to the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. His mercy bought our souls, redeemed us by the precious blood of Jesus. Mercy. When we deserved hell, he gave us heaven. When we deserved hell and the torture therein, he gave us a mansion. how wonderful God is. Why shouldn't we serve him? What a time. If I denied the Lord, if someone put a gun to my head, how many years have I got left? I may die tomorrow. May die the next day. What have I saved? But when I say that I'm a Christian, I've gained eternity. I've gained a new body, not made with man's hands. Oh, well, I don't know. You know, I've never seen heaven. You had never seen this until you was born, was you? The Bible said you had to be born again. My eyes, through faith, have seen the coming of the Lord, seen his mansion, seen his love, seen his care. He don't want us to carry a burden. He said, bring all your cares unto me, for I care for you. All we got to do is be faithful. More of it is required in a steward to be found faithful in whatever God has placed us in. His mercy is everlasting. And his truth endureth to all generations. John 17:17, what is truth? Thy word is truth. This right here is truth. If we're born again, we're born of the water of the word and the spirit of God. This is truth. And it will endure for all generations because it is forever settled in heaven. And that truth will teach a young man his ways. Will teach an old man his ways. It is truth that endures to all generations. Hitler tried to blot it out by burning all the Bibles. Many others have tried to, in these Bible perversions, blot out the true meaning of the Word of God. But thank God, the old generation, 1611, is still there. It's still telling the truth. And as the Bible says, when you know the truth shall set you free. We can be free and free indeed. All we've got to do is stay in the truth. Because without it, my friends, we'll be handed a lie. Today, there are many religions across this land that'll preach 90% truth, 10% false. And that 10% can send you to hell if you don't watch out. We got to get in the truth, know the truth. And when we get into the truth, praise God, the truth will always, always come through. It will save us all. It will take us to heaven. It tells us about heaven. It tells us about salvation. It tells us about the love of God. We ought to be thankful we were born in a generation where the whole canon of the Bible is right here. I used to get to the Russian underground where people were Christians and they worshiped under the underground. And only the thing they had was like one page of the Bible. Here we are, we have the whole Bible. What do we do with it? Do we read it? Because the truth will set you. You want to know what the Word of God can do? Just read Psalm 119. It's a long psalm, but it's all about the Word of God. Psalm 119. Brother Bill, you want to come up here and close us? Always like to have preach to have the last word.
Pastor.